Hello! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no! Does that count?
Yep.
No! I had the under. Okay?
Get help today.
Had the under.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. It's all about sports, sports, sports.
You might think that the Bruins loss was the worst thing that happened yesterday, but to that I would say our two new resident gambling experts, Mr. Joe Murray Jackpots and Dan Bags of Cash Lifshat.
Joey Jackpots?
both yesterday lost a lot of money on two different fronts. I retweeted both of these. First of all, Joe Murray put Bruins -150 home ice. That obviously did not happen. And then Dan Lifshatz yesterday tweeted out Rockets Jazz under 205. Let's do it. Done deal. Dan not making any cash last night as well. So there you go.
They never explained why they put that on Twitter.
What's that?
Lifshatz like kind of denied that he put it on Twitter. That they just put their bets on Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah. They put them out there.
No. But Lifshatz kind of denied that. He said that. Oh no, I don't. That's more Murray's thing.
No. Dan Lifshatz does that.
Yeah, I don't really understand why.
The best of the people, like I retweeted it. Like, I just retweeted, you know, Lifshatz put Rockets Jazz under 205. Let's do it. And I put Done Deal. Dan says lock it in. And the people who get mad, they don't know what they're talking about. Follow Blackjack Joey instead of that hack and stuff like that. People are suggesting the real people to follow.
Well, you have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to follow the real people.
Yep. So that
in order
was,
to get your betting advice on Twitter.
That was the heartbreaker, is that both of our gambling experts, unfortunately, had bad days yesterday.
Well, you would never think, considering they started with such little money and then they bankrolled it until the Lifshatz could put $10,000 on a... Well, was it Lifshatz or Murray that put... it was Lifshatz, right?
Yes.
Who put $10,000 on the Patriots the first half
of the Super Bowl
line on the Super Bowl and lost that. But it was no big deal because it was money he had already won, which I understand, actually.
I'd like to know what the bet was, like what he actually bet on. He just said the first half.
No. He said what it was. It was like an over-under on the first half. And so he did that. But I understand what he's saying. He had developed enough of a bankroll that the $10,000 wasn't that big a deal because it was one money. It wasn't money that he really needed. All right, let's get into it. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
What's up, Pat?
Hey, I really believe that they got to get back to hitting. They need to show hitting presence out there in the second and the third line. If they don't show up and start doing something, well, we're done, because we can't keep counting on Bergeron and Marchand to bail them out. The other line's got to start picking it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the third line's an embarrassment right now.
The third line is not good, but the good news is that Rask played very, very well. So you at least have that. You can hang your hat on that. And if they win on Friday, then things are back to normal.
Were any of the goals his fault last night?
No. Not the first two, and no. I'm trying to think of the third one. I don't think the third one was either.
No, there were.
The Grizzlick screw-up was the reason for the first one.
The second one was a deflection in front.
Yep.
The third one was a follow-up where the guy was standing right in front
of him. And then Rask saved their asses on several occasions.
Oh, that first period, he completely saved their asses.
Saved their asses almost the entire night. I mean, there was a goal that he stopped where he reached behind himself, and it was one of the great saves of the playoffs. So if they had to lose, that was the way that you wanted them to lose, is that you wanted to lose with Rask, you know, standing tall, and you know, you hope that they can break through all that.
You see, that was, to me, the most depressing of all the losses so far, because I think that the reality is hitting in that maybe Tampa Bay is just a better team. I mean, they're better defensively. They're fast as hell. It's not, you're not playing Toronto anymore. Defensively, that team is just stifling you with the forecheck. I mean, and they're so fast. Like, they can put several guys down there to get you in your own defensive zone, because if they do end up getting puck possession, they can just speed right on down the ice and be able to score.
I honestly think that it wasn't anything the Bruins did last night. It was just that Tampa, especially in the third period, was so good at hemming them in and keeping them away from the goaltender. You could say, you know, the Bruins didn't have it. Well, it wasn't just that. Tampa Bay played very, very well last night, especially late when they had a lead to protect.
Yeah, well, they got a lead based on a kind of fluky stuff.
Yep.
So if they had to lose, that was the way you wanted them to lose, is that you wanted them to lose with Rask playing very well. And so you have confidence in Rask going in, and if you have a goaltender, all they have to do is win Friday. If they don't win Friday, then it's a bad thing. If they win Friday, then it's fine. Then it's 2-2, and I don't think that they struggle in Tampa. And, you know, one of the goals that they let up is they kicked Krejci out of the box. Okay, so two of the three goals is, one, Grizzlick obviously made a horrible mistake. And then another goal was they kicked Krejci out of the faceoff circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was who took the faceoff? I have it written down. But they kicked Krejci out of the faceoff circle. They lose the faceoff, and then that's a goal. So if they were going to lose, that's the way you want them to lose. That's if you didn't want them to lose, you know, 8-6.
But it was DeBrusk, I think, who took that face-off instead of... That was the only face-off DeBrusk took all night.
Right. So if you didn't want him to lose 8-6, you wanted them to lose 3-1. So I don't think that was discouraging. I don't think that was the most discouraging of all the losses.
I just think it was the first time where I looked at the team and I'm like, maybe they're just better.
No, I don't think Tampa's
maybe they're just a better team.
I don't think Tampa's a better team.
Bruins had, I agree with Fred, it had a couple of bad breaks go their way early, and then Tampa just played well. I mean, that's a problem.
Well, here's another reason it's depressing, is that Tampa's best line, their first line, hasn't even done anything yet.
Nope. Kucherov was stoned on a breakaway last night. That was the first time he's really gotten a chance to score.
And Stamkos, that was obviously a
gift at the end.
Right. But, I mean, they've done nothing.
Correct.
And that's scary.
I don't think that's scary. I think that's a positive, is that you've shut down their first line. There's nothing negative about that. Two of the three goals that they got were flukes, so and not Rask's fault. So I don't come out of that being very discouraged.
Bruins are horrible in their own defensive end in the first period.
Yes.
Could not have played any worse in their own defensive end in the first period.
And
then they clean stuff up in periods 2 and 3 and played them even. I mean, I'm going to throw that empty net goal out. So, I mean, periods 2 and 3, they were even. They couldn't get anything generated early.
This call is so random, I almost want to take it.
I don't even know what that is.
Just let him talk, because I know what he's talking about. It's so random. I don't know why.
But I have no idea what he's talking about.
Guys, the movie Knight's Tale sucks, and I want to tell you why.
Okay. What's Knight's Tale?
That's the movie with Heath Ledger from, like, 15 years ago.
Oh, he's
a knight.
He's a gentleman.
And they sing, I think. I think they sing in it. It's like part music. It's like a comedy or musical.
I remember that.
Where Heath Ledger's a knight. But I don't know why he's calling, but I just saw the topic.
Dan, go ahead.
The movie Knight's Tale sucks.
Okay. And you said you want to tell us why?
Why'd you see it?
I want the Robin Williams guy to call in and yell at me.
Oh. You went to Heath because Heath Ledger's dead.
Because you can't make fun of bad movies with someone who died. All right, now I understand this call. All
right. 2001.
If you didn't listen, yesterday we were making fun of Patch Adams.
And so I said,
and then the guy called in and he was furious that we were making fun of a dead guy's movie. And to that I said, how about this? Robin Williams isn't funny. And then he started swearing. And then we had to hang up on him. He was that pissed off.
That's why the guy wanted to call in and rip on a Heath Ledger movie. I see. Okay, now I understand the call.
You could have gone a lot of Heath Ledger movies. Even though 10 Things I Hate About You.
That's not a bad movie.
Strangely watchable.
Not a bad movie.
My kids are big into 10 Things I Hate About You.
I can't think of many more Heath Ledger movies outside of like The Dark Knight and 10 Things I Hate About You and The Knight's Tale. Like I don't remember. Brokeback Mountain.
Knight's Tale. I don't know if that's ever crossed my radar.
Yeah, it was just an odd movie. It was like it was set in the medieval ages.
The Brothers Grimm.
Before there was like a Lansing tournament, they did We Will Rock You in the Stands.
The Brothers Grimm sounds like that was terrible.
That's what's his name? The guy.
The Brothers Grimm.
Who's the director of all the Monty Python thing?
Yes.
Who did the 12 Monkeys?
Oh, boy, that's even worse.
No. It's the guy who did 12 Monkeys. The guy's a pretty good director.
Well, if he's from. Is
Terry
he the
Gilliam.
Guy?
Terry Gilliam. Yeah, that guy's a maniac. You didn't see like Brazil and 12 Monkeys?
Yeah, Brazil is terrible.
See, I love Brazil. See, I think
you're the one.
Time Bandits?
Time Bandits is the only movie I
ever
watched.
I saw that movie.
Time Bandits like freaked me out when I was a kid. Bandits. Dude, that movie's freaky as hell.
Time Bandits is the only movie I ever walked out of. And then he did the Robin Williams movie.
But you were like 5 when it came out.
Whatever it was terrible.
No, you're thinking Ice Pirates, not Time Bandits.
Oh, Ice Pirates.
Yeah, well, Ice Pirates wasn't good. Time Bandits is like legit. Sean Connery, it's legitimately a freaky movie.
Yeah, and then he did The World According to Garp.
Which I never saw that one.
It's not good. Go ahead.
No, a couple other things. Heath Ledger, Lords of Dogtown. But the thing he's known for is with Mel Gibson in The Patriot. He's Mel Gibson's kid.
Did you say the thing he's known for?
Early in his career, it was.
I would think it would be The Dark Knight is kind of what he's known for.
Early in his career,
Lords of Dogtown was a completely unnecessary movie. They had made this great documentary on Dogtown that was
Dogtown and Z-Boys, great movie.
Which was actually unpopular. And then they just made a Dogtown fictional movie, and you're like, why? You just made this great documentary. Why the hell would you make a fictionalized version of it?
I guess the thing I can say about that is that I've seen it, and I don't remember one thing about it.
Like that's I just remember that.
So forgettable.
Why are you doing this? Dogtown and Z-Boys, and it's not like Dogtown and Z-Boys was this art film. I mean, it was something that, like, a lot of people, Sean Penn was the voice narrator of it. I mean, it was a big deal. And then Dogtown and Z-Boys, the fictionalized version of it, that's just like the NWA movie, which I know, and it wasn't bad, but it's just like, why didn't you just make a documentary about it? It would have been 1,000 times better. And then they put the documentary out about Dr. Dre, and it was just a big advertisement for crap. All right, we'll talk more, get more involved in the Bruins game last night.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, obviously, a disappointing night for the Bruins.
Well, Pedro Martinez and Bobby Orr were together at the same time last night in one of the boxes cheering on the team. That might have been the only feel-good moment of the evening.
Far side now, Palat at the dot. Rotates in the corner. Up top, Girardi shoots. Rask kicks it out. Hedman shoots. Deflected, they score. Hit some of the traffic out in front. Might have been deflected again by Palat. We'll see who gets the goal, but it's 2-0 Lightning.
Slow, listless, lifeless. The Boston Bruins never showed up to last night's 4-1 game at the Garden, and it took less than 5 minutes for the Lightning to suck the energy right out of the building with 2 goals scored. And for a moment there, however, it looked like we might finally get back some of that first-line magic.
Right of the net, fired wide, looking for a tip. High slot now, Krug, right circle, Marchand shoots, deflected. Rick Nash taken down out in front, rebound. They score! Zabotti's out in front. Patrice Bergeron able to pick his spot, and he ripped it home.
But that was it. That was your scoring for the evening, and some people might be quick to jump on Tuukka Rask for the early deficit, but as we were saying before, that first goal, the result of a gigantic brain fart by Matt Grizzlick when he lost the puck and basically left Rask out to dry. And the second goal came off a deflection. After that, he was pelted with pucks in the first, making 16 saves and keeping the Bruins from facing a first-period blowout.
Well, the face-offs and kicking people out of the face-off circle killed the Bruins.
Now, Patrice only got kicked out once last night that I remember,
right? Krejci got kicked out of the face-off circle, and that went to Donato, and then Donato lost the face-off, and that ended up leading to a goal. Or DeBrusk, sorry. DeBrusk ended up losing the face-off, and that ended up in a goal.
Yeah. Overall, the face-offs have gone away of Tampa Bay each of the first three games, frankly, because I think the Bruins, whoever's taking the face-offs for the Bruins, just scared they're going to get tossed.
Yeah.
So they take a very passive approach, and they get beat. And Bergeron only... I only remember the one time he got kicked out, but he lost. He lost 14 of the 24 he took.
Yeah, so you have this. I mean, it's a terrible blow to the team that they're doing this. That the league has somehow stepped in and confused everyone. And Bergeron talked about it yesterday.
We have the clip. We'll play it here in just a minute.
Oh, well, I don't want to step on any toes.
I have it right here. Here he is. This is him talking about the phase before the game, because he seems to be as confused as anyone.
It's a bit of a head-scratcher once in a while, to be honest with you, but something that I need to bear down. And maybe, I've been asking a lot of questions. I don't seem to get the answers, so it's up to me to adjust and to be better.
At least tell the guy what he's doing wrong. Like, if you're having this massive problem with him, which it seems to be because he gets kicked out at a rate that we've never seen before, tell the guy what he's doing wrong so we can fix it. I don't understand.
Well, it's cost them a lot in this series, is that when they kick out the main face-off guys and you lose a face-off, especially when Krejci got kicked off and it's in the Tampa Bay zone, that led to a goal. Rask played, if you're going to lose, that was the way to lose last night, is that Rask played very well. And, there was a fluky goal to get things going, and then there was a goal coming off that face-off, and then, Tampa Bay had the luxury to sit down and have layers and not particularly care about themselves, about what's going on offensively. I'm still more comfortable with Tampa Bay than I was with Toronto.
Well, then the dagger came following a poorly executed breakout pass by Kevin Miller and a turnover that was characteristic of the Bruins all night.
Spins it out to center ice. McDonough waiting for it. Quick counter, Yanni Gourde down the right wing. Across the blue line, right circle. Gourde in front, Cirelli. Oh. Shoots, they made. Score! On the rebound, Cirelli! Rask made the first save. What did you talk about, Phil? Rebounds, rebounds, rebounds. And Cirelli put it on his own rebound. It's 3-1 Lightning.
Oh, yes.
Michigan would bother me if I was the biggest Lightning fan in the world.
There was an article. I want to read this. So I guess one of our friends, who's the guy who hosts with Boomer now? I forget.
Gio.
Okay. So Gio apparently echoes our sentiments that we've had about Dave Michigan, about the guy just like yells like, with the open net screaming, what are you doing? If it was a game-winning goal, I get it. But, I mean, he screams every single goal.
Yeah, he's a hack.
Yeah, and so Gio basically said what we did, but for some reason the Tampa Bay Press picked up on it, and they wrote this scathing article about how dare you rip on Michigan. No, it's because he sucks.
Michigan's a terrible play-by-play guy. And
he's an over-screamer.
The only thing that saves him is Esposito's apathy.
Right.
Esposito's apathy of like, okay.
Well, one of the most glaring problems right now for the Bruins is the miserable performance of the third and fourth lines, who tallied a paltry 4 total shots for the night. Backus looks like he's skating in sand. He had 0 shots, and Riley Nash still looks like he's hurt. Danton Heinen gave you nothing yesterday, so Bruce Cassidy was asked about the poor play of the third line and hinted that there might be some changes coming.
I am concerned, and we always look, we've got, some guys that weren't dressed tonight that have played well for this team. So we'll have that conversation tomorrow. I think it's easier to do it the next morning than it is immediately after the game. And some guys have had a tough time that we need, whether they stay in or not. If they stay in, obviously they need to be better.
Does that say to you that there might be a Donato move?
Take a look at the last series where Danton Heinen had his time on ice significantly reduced. I believe it was game 5 against Toronto, and he was sat. He sat down in game 6 and replaced. You saw it happen last night. He had only 8 or 9 minutes on ice last night. It was significantly less than every other forward, and I think he's not going to play tomorrow night, and I think it's time. It's time for Ryan Donato here.
I think Donato's going to play.
You need a spark here on those bottom two lines. Maybe, I mean, the fourth line is not known for generating chances.
And they made,
but the third
they
line,
made a change yesterday.
Right. And they had Wingles in, right.
Wingles
so
instead of Shallon.
It's time to make that change. I think Heinen's reduced ice time is a clue that Cassidy's going to sit him in game four, and this is a perfect opportunity to bring Ryan Donato in.
And if you want a silver lining and you believe in the series and that it's, you know, more of a marathon than it is a sprint. Hedman played over 26 minutes last night, and McDonough played over 23, and they were out on the ice. Hedman was out on the ice for like 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
I know, and they couldn't do anything with it. They had these two defensemen pinned in their own zone. They couldn't get them off the ice, and the Bruins were unable to take advantage.
Yeah, they were unable to do anything, but you would hope that after that sort of ice time that, you know, there would be some weariness.
What did McAvoy have last night? I think that he was on there for an ass load, too. He must have had the team high.
McAvoy was on for, 27 minutes.
Yeah, he was out there for a ton. So, but at least, you know, he's got youth going for him.
Like
so
19.
Right.
So, but it comes down to Friday. If they win Friday, I like their chances. If they don't win Friday, it's going to be over sooner than later. But if Friday becomes a Game 7 scenario, and I'm not nearly as frustrated as I was in that Toronto series.
Well, Brad,
if it's not for a couple bad, all that matters is that Rask is playing well. That's all that matters. And if you take away those early mistakes, you can't, in the playoffs, you can't afford to get down two goals against a good team. You just can't. And then Rask saved their asses, and then the Bruins were unable to do anything. And in the third period, Tampa Bay was just playing like a shell. So I'm not overly concerned. Talk to me on Monday, and then the series might be over, and then we'll...
It's true.
Theoretically, we'll you're right.
Well, Marchand also realized that the officiating has been pretty gross this series, and he addressed it last night after the game.
It's funny how inconsistent they are. Yeah, the slashing penalty is the same thing that I had on a breakaway last game. It was 3-2, so a little consistent being a little nice.
Yeah,
Marchand was called for a slashing penalty.
It was a blatant high stick on Chara that wasn't called.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I want to watch that in real time again, because in slow-mo it certainly looked like gratuitous. Like, how'd you miss that? But in fairness, I didn't watch it again in real time to see just how tough it would be. But, I mean, Chara threw his head back. So you knew something happened when he got hit in the face.
I didn't like the call on Riley Nash for tripping. They didn't mind it on TV, but I didn't like the call with Riley Nash for tripping when he just put his shoulder down. I didn't like that call. There was a bunch of stuff. The officiating has been terrible in this series, and it's gone very much against the Bruins. So, again, that's another thing that makes you believe that this could turn. I just think that Boston's better than Tampa. Haggerty disagrees. I was texting with him yesterday, and Haggerty says there's no shame in losing. This might not go seven games. And I think, yes, there is a shame of losing. If Rask plays well, they should win this series.
I think Tampa, as the standings bear out, Tampa's their equal. And Tampa right now is deeper offensively than you are.
Fair enough. And the third and fourth lines are, and the fourth line's never going to do anything.
But. No, but I mean, Tampa's not getting any production from their two superstars, and they're still scoring goals.
Yes, and then that's the difference, is that, and then hopefully you put Donato in on the third line, and that he can add some kind of scoring punch. All right, we will have the headlines, and we will continue to discuss sports in a matter that will not only thrill you, but delight you.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to Friday night's Game 4 between the Bruins and Lightning at the TD Garden for the second round of the NHL playoffs. That's at 7:50. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, so at the top of the show, you guys were talking about that 3-1 loss being the best way that you could lose, with Tuukka kind of playing really well and everything else.
It was 4-1, but, you know, it was counting.
No, it's essentially 3-1.
The empty net, but right. You guys mentioned the 6-8 would be a horrible way to lose because, you know, Tuukka would be playing horrible. He'd probably get pulled on that. I'm thinking that almost might be better because I think our offense is a lot harder to get going than it is Tuukka. I think Tuukka will bounce back from a bad game, and we've seen it in the past. I mean, there's plenty of holes in his game and everything else, but I think I'd rather have our offense going and Vasilevskiy coming out the next game shaky as all hell.
Well, I mean, the Bruins got put, they were got in a hole on two things that were sort of fluky. I mean, they got put in the hole because of the Grizzly terrible play where he apparently lost the puck in the lights.
Yeah, he said that he took his eye off the puck, and then after that, it was all over with.
And then Krejci got kicked out of the faceoff circle again. And
but aren't the turnovers concerning you? The way that they can't get the puck out of their own defensive zone?
Yeah, there's things that concern me, but
making a list. Yeah. It's going to be included. Don't worry.
I would much rather have Rask play well and get confident and perhaps steal a game.
You want your goaltender hot because that supersedes everything in the playoffs.
Yes, of course it does.
Yes, absolutely.
And if it wasn't for one Grizzly thing that was inexcusable, and Grizzly was responsible for another. If it wasn't a goal, it was certainly a golden opportunity. Grizzly played terribly last night. That I would much rather have it be this way than it would be if there was a blowout. Or if it was not a blowout, but if it was a high-scoring game. I'm not overly concerned about the offense. And especially if they shake things up with the third line, which it looks like they're going to. And if they can roll four lines and everyone can get going a little bit, then I'm much more comfortable. And, if they can get on the power play, their power play would dominate against Tampa Bay.
Was it me, or did it look like the Bruins were this close to just losing control as a team altogether late in the first period?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. The second period, they came out on fire.
Yeah, late in the first period, though, I'm watching, I'm like, this could really go horribly wrong.
Rask saved their asses.
But, I mean, it just taking bad penalties, it just was altogether frustrating, I would think, for the players out there. The calls are going against you. Bad bounces are going against you. You're losing to a team that's just as good as you are, that's rolling. I thought that the Bruins are very close to taking some really bad penalties. Marchand right at the front.
Well, I'll tell you, Friday night is a game seven. Friday night is a game seven. So strap it on. I mean, literally wear a strap on.
Sure.
And
well, who's not going to anyway? I mean,
during the game,
it's like telling
be
people to breathe air. You know, I mean, it's something that's going to happen. But
I'll tell you this, is that God bless Bird, because line three just says Kevin Bruins.
Let's talk about Bruins.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah. I don't know what about or anything else.
That third line, though, they got to do something. I mean, it's a liability.
The third line's been terrible the whole series.
It's a liability. And boy, is it me, or does Backes look even slower this round than he did the first round?
At least Backes was physical. Yeah. At least Backes, is slow.
Riley Nash is your best face-off guy at the moment.
Oh, sure.
So you can't get rid of him.
And so you could make a move with Heinen, and you could put in Donato, and at least Backes is physical. At least Backes is trying to create some sort of spark. But I would replace Heinen with Donato, and then their fourth line, they can do whatever the hell they want. I don't know what that line has done nothing. But Achari played a lot of minutes last night, so they were rolling lines. God bless them. Friday. And I have confidence that they could win on Friday. I didn't feel the same way in the Toronto series. I feel that way they're here. They're losing in a fashion that I'm not overly concerned with. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm just still, as I said, I'm still worried that, you know, the first line of Tampa hasn't done anything yet. I mean, it's like they're just sitting there waiting to be unleashed. Well, and I know you said it's a positive because obviously the Bruins are stifling them. But all that being said, that's a team that's had massive success all season long. Well, and I mean, you've yet to see what they've done.
Make the same argument that the bottom two lines for the Bruins have done absolutely nothing. So, I mean, the Bruins have been top heavy. The Tampa Bay's been bottom heavy. I just Friday, and I think they can win Friday. I think they will win Friday because based on the way they lost, they score the first goal on Friday, I think they win that game. I think it basically comes down to little things like that.
Is this going
to
be like when they put Sagan in the Stanley Cup year? When Donato comes in?
I don't think
you're going to get
quite
that
the boop. Same. No.
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, a spark. You have a score.
It's a spark, but Sagan was, I mean, what, he had 2 goals and 2 assists that game they brought
in? Yeah, he was a monster.
Tampa.
Right, when he came in, he was a monster.
I don't know. Donato could have a big game. There's nothing to say that he couldn't. By the way, if you're interested, I told a story a couple days ago about a 104-year-old Australian scientist who they said, isn't it wonderful that you turned 104? And he said, no, I'm not happy. I want to die. It's not sad particularly. What's sad is one is prevented from dying. So he turned 104 and everyone was around him blowing out the cake. And he mm-hmm. said, I want to die. And so he's flying to Switzerland to die.
They're going to kill him. In Switzerland.
Is there, what? There's like assisted suicide is legal there?
Yeah, it's amazing that one can make the choice to end their life. I just like that someone would tell you, like, I'm 104, I want to die. And they go, no. You can't die. Well, I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you die. Well, I want to, and it's my life, and I, you know, I've lived a long life. I'm not particularly happy. I'm very old. And then people go to you, yeah, but I don't know you at all, but I'm going to tell you, no, you can't die. You sit here and not die.
Is it the government? Is it government-assisted suicide? Is that what this is?
It's assisted suicide.
Oh.
It's physician-assisted suicide. Japan, Belgium, and Switzerland allow that. Everyone else tells you no. If you want to die, they say no. You can throw yourself off a building. But to die with any kind of dignity.
Well, you can't. I still think it's illegal to. I think committing suicide is illegal, isn't it?
No.
I thought there was some sort of like legal.
So if I jump
thing.
Off a building and I survive, I'm going to jail?
No, it's not you're going to jail. It's that there's certain penalties. Like you can't like collect on insurance and things like that. I think there's certain things that you're negated from getting.
Are you not, because are you not for assisted suicide?
That is something that I'm still struggling with.
If someone wants to die, what business is it of yours?
It's I don't know. Maybe they're not of the sound mind at the moment.
Who are you to tell someone that they can't end their life if they want to?
I don't know. I said I've not thought about it enough.
It's none of your... Well, you should right now. It's none of your business if they want to die. If they want to die, they should be able to die. Especially if you're 104 years old. Who's anyone to tell that guy not to die? He wants to die.
No, I want him to be miserable. I want more articles about how angry he is.
Well, it sounds to me like you do.
The best is when you get an article that says, oldest man in the world dies. And I'm like, well, that seems to happen a lot.
Mm. All right. Well,
I mean, that's kind of something you don't have to write an article about.
The Oaks, which I'm very pleased I know about, and the Kentucky Derby are happening. The Oaks is tomorrow with the ladies. And then the Kentucky Derby is coming on Saturday. Plus, there's a bunch of really crappy bands.
Hello! The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is it a racehorse?
Oh, hell no, they're going to horse.
Or a bad local band?
Boogie Boogie Land!
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Kentucky Derby and the Oaks. The Oaks, baby. That's the big one. Everyone's going to the Kentucky Derby that I know, every single person. And, Rich, you have scoured for years. You have scoured mm-hmm. record labels and gone hunting for terrible bands. And so what happens is that Rich will read the name of something, and it will be either a horse or a bad band. It's up to John and I to guess.
Our listeners are unbelievable. You know that second one that we played, the rapper? Can you go back to that real quick?
Yes.
Called Tripla? Somebody found a music video that this guy made for it, and I just tweeted it out, and it is glorious. Play some of that.
I'm back again on this for you. 2010, baby. Coming straight through you.
It's
you feel this, baby.
Some kind of straight through you. Doughy guy.
Coming back into my life now. Once the beat is made of my
world. He's like
I
rapping.
Like there's subtitles.
Think you're bad. Want you bad. What makes you think you're that I have you back?
Is that in the United States?
and I did it to me.
He's like leaning on a fence.
He loves chain link fences and being in a hole in the ground.
Well, suffice it to say, the video's not very good.
No, it's just, but it's everything. It fits the quality of the song.
Including subtitles, because that's what you want.
Right, because you can't understand what he's actually saying.
And by
saying.
The way, the subtitles are in English. It's not like they're in another language.
Right. And somebody found, and by the way, the video is titled Worst Rapper Ever. Okay, so I'm sure that he's very proud of that, but
the
I want to thank our
producer.
Listeners.
Yes, he found that sound.
Yes, he does. Okay, so I will go ahead and give you a name. You tell me what is a band, or a bad local band, or bad band, or is it a racehorse, okay? AJ.
Fred? That's a pretty lame horse name, so I'll say band.
I'll say band.
That's correct. All right. You ready? You can play it. It's titled Try.
Okay. Here we go. That's the sound. That is the sound. What do you want it to sound like? That everything's covered with pillows.
It's called Boombox in the Other Room.
Yeah. Let's just. What are you going for? Just like almost inaudible. Again, if you're joking, it's still bad.
I don't think this guy is joking.
Even if he is, it doesn't matter.
This is like... this is the like the Silence of the Lamb guy has a band.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, let's hide our junk.
Right. Calls over his friends.
I love butterflies, whatever the hell was in there.
It's Larry Flint all of a sudden.
Hey, this is an album by Dead and the Sex Day.
It rubs lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
Yes.
I don't think he's kidding either. This sounds like a band that was looking for a singer, and they said, we found him.
You're the guy.
You're the guy.
You're hired.
I'll do the whole dance with my junk behind me. This is called the Do the Fruit Salad. You gotta do it for... Look, there's nothing in front, and look at the back. That's where it all is. Fruit salad.
Oh, wait. Was she a great big fat person?
Yeah. You gotta tape it sometimes.
Trying to harmonize. There's another guy trying to harmonize with just a mess. Well, what note goes with
they have ball gags in their mouths, so it's a little difficult to enunciate.
That's right. The bassist is the Gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And the lead singer is the dude from Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, one has tucking it.
One has a leather mask on and a leather hood on, and the other guy's got a
it's got the
oh, I forgot to unzip the mouth again.
What the f***? What is the
Oh, well, that was not good.
Well, that's not nightmare material.
No, that is not good at all.
Not in the least bit.
Not a good song.
All right, is this a racehorse or a band? Young Boy.
Well, I would hope it's not a racehorse. Yeah, that's a band. Yeah, I would hope that that's... if I have a horse that's worth millions of dollars,
yeah.
I'm going to guess I'm not naming it Young Boy.
That's right. That is correct. All right, well, let's take a listen to Mr. Young Boy, shall we?
Like my lady, nice and hank, unless it's woman's
Just my type. A pigeon loves to do the crime. To their juicy dick behind. Como se llama what I say to you around my waist. Finger guys, what's it say to sip and make my day? To my bonito masses, so I guarantee go way down low.
I don't even have anything to say.
This song's called Do Me. It's a very sexual song.
Freaky.
I don't have to say. Just that. You go, young boy. You go, young boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If one sounds like the guy in the hole, the other one sounds like the guy out of the hole.
That's right. Would you like to hear his fall young boy's follow-up single? That's the next one.
All right, so this is the...
Yeah, that one was called Do Me, and here's a new one.
This is Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah!
Theme song.
It's the Wiggy theme.
And I could see him doing this.
Yeah.
It's about the same quality. You know when you're worse than a book that teaches kids how to read? That you're not doing a good job. Can you picture him like on the bus, like 98 Mile with a notebook?
Right, back to the lab again, yo.
Wiggy wiggy wah. In a wiggy wiggy, wiggy whoa.
Wiggy wiggy, wiggy whoa.
Parmesan sandwich. You gotta get a good Parmesan sandwich. There's a lot of my behind the mic Callahan to this
song. The quality of the audio.
Yeah, and just like the, it gets kind of like, you know, hopping. Gets a little bit like a jukebox in the 50s. Well, there you have it. I mean, how many ways can you rhyme whoa?
This is the winner. Hands down.
The Buffalo Bill Band.
That's AJ, right?
That's the AJ.
Name of the group is AJ?
Okay. Hey, that was great. Number one with a bullet.
And the bassist to his ball gag.
Excellent idea. I think we do the chord change after the verse, second chorus. Good job. Hey. Music to kill by. Wiggy, wiggy, whoa.
It's a wiggy, wiggy, whoa.
We will return in just a moment, and hopefully you can get that song out of your head.